This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 335. We're at to the final episode of the Star Wars franchise. In the final, okay, of the original trilogy, we're at to the Return of the Jedi from 1983, where I was born. Okay, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, when was the first time you put eyes on this film?
You know what? After I was watching this, I'm pretty sure this was the first one I've seen, because I distinctly remember the beginning of this movie where they're walking in the desert and then they go to the door and the little thing comes out. Like, I remember that as a kid. So I don't know when, but I'm pretty sure this is the first one. This is actually the one I've seen the least. Okay. We'll get into it when we start reviewing. But this is my least watched of the original three.
You know, it's funny. This was the first one I seen, because this was when I was born. So this one, I was like, I watched it first, then the other ones came after. You know, it's funny, as my favorite one, and then maybe I'm stamping it because of my year birth, and this is the first time nostalgia. I watched it. Yeah. Yes. Other than that, I have not seen this movie in a long time. Because when I started to watch it, I said, whoa, there's some things here that I was like, I'm kind of off here.
Who's this character? On it.
I was just like, wait a minute, it's been a while. But the thing is, I could say that with the Star Wars original trilogy. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I watched straight back. I don't go back to these. I don't gravitate back to these like over and over watching. Like, I have friends. Ralph does it. Our friend Ralph, Horror and Coffee, he goes back, he watches them all. I don't. I like to just do the one through nine. I'm done. But this is the first time I'm doing a one through because of our podcast.
Doing it in the order of release.
Yes, we're doing it in the order of release, but this is our first watch through doing 1 through 9.
Right.
I have not done it after 7, 8, and 9. Once Rise of Skywalker came out, we're going to just talk about what? I disowned the franchise. I was like, I'm never watching them again. But now that we're doing it, now this is the first watch through from beginning to end of the story. Let's see if it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see if it does. All right, so let's get to some fun stuff here. All right, so I'll let you go with the critics and audience. Okay. And then we're going to end it off with the financials and then go right into our review. So
okey-dokey.
What does the critics and audience thought of the final at the time in 1983 of the Star Wars saga?
They're good. The numbers are good, but we have a dip. We have our first dip. So you remember the first film to the second, it went up on both critics and audiences. And this one, it went down on both. Now it went down more on critics. This is the lowest of the original trilogy at an 83%, which is 12% under the 95% that The Empire Strikes Back had. And with the audience score, it's a smaller dip, only 3%. So this is at a 94, which is still great, versus a 97 and a 95 for the first two.
It's not bad. And I'm thinking the audience liked the dark tone of Empire. I think they liked that dark tone.
I think Empire just had a little bit of everything. Yeah. And it's just iconic. Like, it's the most iconic one. I think people just gravitate towards it because of that. This one to me feels more like the first movie than Empire. Yeah. Empire feels different than these two.
It's
You made a comparison last week to Indiana Jones.
I
feel the same way about that franchise. 1 and 3 feel like similar, and then 2 feels like this other movie with the same people in it.
Yeah. This movie felt like it. This felt like the Last Crusade of the Star Wars, right? I agree with you on that. I mean, when I saw Empire, I was like, wait a minute, this looks exactly like Temple of Doom, the same feel and everything. And it does, but again, did that hurt this film going from people's mindset, right? Like, as fans, when you watch Empire Strikes Back and then you watch Return of the Jedi, I have a feeling a lot of people liked the way the story was told in Empire. You know what I mean? Like, that whole dark tone, it felt more realism to it. So with that said, let's get to some financials here, because it took a dip. It actually took a dip.
Yeah.
So budget-wise, it went up. It went up to $32.5 million. Okay? So it kind of doubled from the other one. Worldwide is $475 million. I mean, it's successful.
It's still good, but it's definitely the lowest of the three.
It's pretty much the lowest. Yes. Now, just like before, I'm going to give you guys the re-releases and how much they came out to. Okay. So the original release domestic was $252 million. 1985 re-release. So I was like 2 years old. It was $11,000.
Okay.
1997 special edition came out. That was $89 million. Star Wars May 4th. There was a one-time only $340 when you stay there. 2020 re-release was $217,000. On 2023 re-release, it was only $7 million. It had nothing in Australia for 2022. It looks like it's kind of the lowest one out of the three.
And I just looked it up, though. It still ended up being the number one movie of 1983. So the lowest of the three, but still the number one movie of that year. Also, I looked up this director. He didn't direct crap else. I don't even know any of these other movies he directed. I've never heard of them. And then he didn't make a movie after like 1988 or something like that. So when I saw his name pop up at the end, I'm like, who the heck even is that?
Well, I'm kind of surprised they didn't go back and get the director from Empire Strikes Back to do the movie.
So that would be Irvin Kershner. He did Empire Strikes Back. He only did two movies, okay, as a director after this. And this is going to speak to you, Alex. These movies are going to talk to you, okay? Oh, Irvin Kershner did The Empire Strikes Back, okay? Mm-hmm. Then the next two movies and his last two movies he directed, Never Say Never Again. And RoboCop 2.
Those
were his last two movies, and he never made anything again.
Well, I will say this. Never Say Never Again is a pretty good movie.
Yeah, no, it's a Bond movie.
It's a pretty decent film that's not connected to the franchise. Yeah. Now, RoboCop 2, I've never seen it, so I can't give you...
Well, don't worry, we got it on the list in the future.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so, yeah, so we don't know yet. It's rated R.
At least it's not like RoboCop 3, that's PG-13.
Maybe, but I'm kind of shocked that Lucas didn't ask this guy to come back to finish. If this is the best one out of all of them...
Or just make it
himself. Why would he not come back?
Why did he directed the first movie. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done.
I made too much money. I'm just gonna let other people do it. He's like, the backstage politics. Maybe. Right? We don't know what goes on backstage. Yeah. Maybe. It could be. All right, so there you go.
TH whatever movie. Then he made American Graffiti, Star Wars, and then he didn't make another movie to like the prequels or something. Direct, as far as director.
George Lucas, he didn't need to. He's a, George Lucas is a great visionary. So like he gave you Indiana Jones.
He's a movie. Star Wars saga. He's like a movie maker who didn't want to direct the movies.
Yeah.
Storyteller.
Yeah. He just has a good visual, like he knows how to put story. He's a good storyteller.
Yeah.
It's just he didn't want to do the actual story, putting the picture together. Wait a minute. How does this work? How about if I give you the scripts and you just do what you got to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. All right. So let's get right into the movie review, okay? Lead character at the time. So it's the final time, right? Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. The entire gang is back for the last one. I'm going to throw in some Ewoks up in here. Ugh. So, Nate, take it away. What do you think of the lead character in this
one? Ewoks. We'll get to them later. A 5. I still think they're great. I mean, you know, to me, we've talked about this. Now there's a third movie. I gave them a 5 each time. Luke continues the hero's journey progression. He's pretty badass in this movie. That scene where he rescues them from Jabba the Hutt, like he's fighting with the lightsaber he's like really aggressive. I love that. The fight at the end is really good. Not as good as the last movie, actually, but it's still pretty good, the fight with Vader. And I like his decisions. You know, he's like, I'm not going to kill my dad. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try. And that's a hero. He's not just like, I'm just going to kill him because he's bad. And that is what you want in a hero. So I think, and Mark Hamill, the best performance, like got better with each movie. Less whiny. I know you didn't like it too whiny. In this one, he's not whiny at all, really. He's contemplative. He thinks like when they're in the Ewok trees and he goes outside to think by himself. But he's not like, you're my sister. I can't. You know what I mean? He's not like a whiny brat. So that's good. As far as Leia and Han, their dynamic continues to be fun. I like it. I like how they reverse the lines. She has the gun. He's like, oh, I love you. And she's like, I know. That was a good reversal of it, you know? So I like it. I like them. C-3PO is a little annoying in this. Like he's annoying with the Ewoks. I can't pretend to be it's like, just shut up and do what I tell you to do. Like, what? You're a robot. Stop it. And R2-D2 is still cool. Lando has like a cameo in this movie, but it's still a 5 for me. I think from 1 to 3, everything that happened with the characters felt correct, in my opinion. I don't think there was any missteps with these leads. And I like the Leia and Luke thing, you know, where he tells her, you're my sister, whatever, they figure that out. Like, I liked it. So I give him a 5.
Yeah, I agree with you on everything you said. The hero's journey pretty much is coming to an end. and you got to where he was when he was at Uncle Owen's little ranch in the desert, all the way up to him putting together plans and like, I'm going to stay with my friends and stuff. I agree. I think it is a five. I think Han Solo and all of them are fun and I like them, but I wanted more adventures with Han and Chewie. I mean, well, then again, he was in Carbonite and whatever, but what I mean is that once the movie started to get going, I wanted to see them on the Millennium Falcon. They removed them from the Millennium Falcon to go on another ship to go into the thing. So like, I was just like, oh man, that kind of stinks. I was telling my wife, I wanted Han to be the one that did the battle of the flying the ship at the end.
Instead of Lando.
Where Lando did.
Yeah.
Huh?
Instead of Lando.
Yeah, instead of Lando. Like, he's like, you know, maybe he could say that famous line, like, you know, Chewie, punch it when it's about to blow, and then you see it just punch out. Because I think the audience would have, you know, with Han doing that, talking to Chewbacca, saying, you know, punch it while all the flyers going through, because people are already engaged with Han, because that's the, like, you don't want him to die. Right. Where Lando, you're like, I don't give a crap.
he turned him over last movie.
Yeah. Like, why would I care for that? But I think if it was reversed, I think it would have been more impactful for the film. In terms of Luke, I agree. See, Luke, you're right. The whiny bitch thing went away and I loved it. I said, all right, cool. He's a man now. Right? Yeah. So my only thing is that when Yoda's dying, right? And Yoda's like, and he's like, is there another one? And then Yoda goes, there is one more. And then he stood there and he looked dumb. Like who? Like, yeah. Like, I told my wife, I was like, you know, I would have been so pissed there because I would have grabbed this little ass and be like, you could have told me this shit like, before I left. Like, Leia's my sister.
Yeah.
Like, but like all that, like, I kind of liked it. Like, you know, he's like, I'm going to keep a promise to an old friend. I'm like, how is he your old friend? You left his ass one time. Like, true. Like, that shit is funny. But again, at the end of everything, Luke is a well-rounded character. You're right. The arc of him, you know, redeeming his father back to the light side, where we'll talk about that main villain. I do like that he punked the Emperor.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not killing my dad, bro. Like, he's like, you ain't doing nothing to me to change me otherwise. Yeah. And he's like, so be it. And I was like, ooh, love it. The 80s makeup. You saw that, like, it reminds me of Masters of the Universe.
The Emperor's like, he looks like he's just painted gray. I never realized it until watching it in 4K. Yeah. Like, this is just painted gray. I mean,
and we're like, they fixed him up. Yeah. And he was like, so be it.
You could see the paint, the gray paint.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like, even when you see Masters of the Universe and you see Skeletor,
he looks
sick. Like that. Yeah. He, I don't know what the makeup they use, who did it, but Skeletor looked amazing. But yeah, at the end of everything, I gave him a 5. Okay. Main villain. So you got Darth Vader, and then you got Emperor Popple Ting Ting, and then, of course, the Empire, blah, blah, blah. So what do you give Darth Vader?
Okay, to me.
Be honest, because I already know where you're going to go with this.
I'm going to be honest. I don't care. Listen, I don't care. Do it. This is not my favorite franchise of all time, so I don't care if everybody gets mad at me. Whatever. They're great movies. I understand their historical value. These are not movies that I grew up watching. It's not my favorite, so I don't care. This is these villains in this movie are the worst out of the whole first three. Honestly. They're the worst. All right, let's think about it. If you just look at the villains as a whole, okay? We'll start with some minor ones really quick. Jabba the Hutt Luke shows up. Every bit of their plan pretty much works. C-3PO and R2-D2 get in there, no problem. Leia sneaks in, unfreezes Han, no problem. I'm like, why does anyone report to this guy? He's a fat slug. He'd probably be easy to kill. It doesn't make any sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then he gets choked out by Leia with the chain. No, nobody ever thought to just run around him and choke him. Whack. Number two, Boba Fett. Why anyone thinks Boba Fett is super cool, I don't understand. He looks cool. He is the worst. He flies out on this thing like he's about to do something, immediately gets his gun knocked out of his hand, then gets thrown into the pit and he dies. And that's it. Like, he does nothing. Then we get to Vader. Now, I like Vader in this movie. I do. But he grew soft. He's soft in this movie. He's, you know, whatever you wish. First of all, he's now back to being the son, you know, like the Emperor's back in charge. So he's essentially like a henchman. Again, a big henchman, right? And then on top of that, Luke, he doesn't really want to fight Luke either. He's like, no, we'll turn him to the dark side. Like, you know, what happened to the, I want him to like want to kill him. Like, I want to kill you because I don't care if you're my son. He's like, no, come join us. And then he ends up throwing the Emperor off the thing. He goes, no, He throws him off the thing. So he turns good by the end. So is that an amazing villain who turns into a good guy? No. And then the Emperor is an old man in a chair. He bosses him around. He's never right. He's like, I've foreseen it. And then it doesn't even, what he foresees didn't even happen. And then he does lightning and he gets thrown off by his apprentice. That being said, I still give him a 4 because they look cool and, you know, stuff like that. But ain't no way Vader was way better in The Empire Strikes Back. Way better. And I don't like the Emperor. I don't think he's that cool of a villain, honestly. So I'm going to give it a 4.
All right. So I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 3.
And this is why. And I already know we're going to get so much hate because so far we've been getting hate.
Scott's going to curse the sky when he hears this.
Pretty much. Yeah. This is why I gave Vader a 3. Okay. In this film, he does nothing. He pretty much meets Luke when Luke gives himself up. And they have a father and son talk in that bridge. And he's like, I'm going to turn you good. And he's like, no, you're not. So I'm going to turn you good. Oh, no, you're not.
I'll turn you bad.
Yeah, I'm going to turn you bad. Right? So it's like that whole back and forth. And he goes, well, we'll see. I'm going to take you to the Emperor. But I see you built your own lightsaber. Nice going, son.
Yeah, like gives him a compliment.
Yeah, he gave him a lot of compliments. Like, wow, yeah. I seen you upgraded. You got so powerful, son. And I'm like, okay, great. And then he goes, oh, while battling. Well, first of all, this is where I told my wife, Vader was never a villain. Okay. He did it because Emperor Palpatine mind fucked him and told him that he could save his wife with the power of the dark side. It is what it is. His mind got clouded. Then he started killing everybody, right? Because the Emperor is so strong and he just got so deceived from the light and all that. Now in this movie, Emperor Palpatine tells Luke, if you grab your lightsaber and strike me down, you will turn to the dark side, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
And he's feeling it, right? Like if someone blew a fart, he's smelling it. He's like, oh, right? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Luke grabs it, the lightsaber, ignites it, about to strike him down. And what happens?
Vader.
His own father stops him and was like, brother, it's going to be me and you fighting. He could have turned dark side there, but his father saved him from turning dark side. Yeah. Now, this is from my point of view, all right? This is my theory here. I don't know. I didn't write the script, but from what I'm seeing here, his father redeems his son going, I'm not letting you go down this dark path. Darth Vader looked already weak in the movie because once he kicked him down the stairs, my man was just like crawling to go back up. His son whooped his ass in 2 seconds. The almighty Darth Vader that everyone loves. Beat him in 2 seconds. And then his father goes, wait a minute. He's about to kill my son. It's like, hell no. Picks him up, throws him. And then, you know, the line of the whole, oh, you have a sister we could turn her to, which was never going to happen. Because the minute he sees Leia again, he's going to think of Padme. And that would have been done, right? Like the whole thing of Natalie Portman. So to be honest with you, is that really a good villain? No, he didn't do nothing in the movie. Like, he didn't. He brought him to the Emperor. The Emperor didn't even do jack either.
He doesn't even choke anybody in this movie.
He does not choke nobody. No, he doesn't. And, I mean, he does shake people's boots when he was like, the Emperor's here. And they were like, what? Lord Vader? Lord Vader?
They're scared of the Emperor.
Like, yeah, they're scared of him. But, again, at the end of the day, the Emperor, yeah, he is the most powerful dark side. But, again, that's where I get so annoyed because when you look at the prequels and then you look at the sequels of, you know, 7, 8, and 9, this mofo is mad strong. You see all these abilities and everywhere. In this one, he's just like, I'm okay.
I will say, as far as a script and a story goes, I don't mind essentially Vader being redeemed. That's okay. Right. But when we're scoring in this podcast and we have to say, okay, was this villain menacing? Did he kill people? I feel like Darth Vader has this cachet that is just, if he's in a movie, it's a 5. You know what I mean? Like automatic, because he does look cool and he talks cool. He's James Earl Jones' voice, you know, like, but when you look at what actually is done, you're right. In this movie, he basically stops Luke from going to the dark side, kills his master to save his son, and then is somewhat redeemed at the end because he gets to have his Force ghost hang out with, you know, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, what was the line that he said? When he goes, Dad, he goes, I can save you, help me take you to the ship. And he goes, no, take off the helmet so I can see you with my own eyes.
Yeah.
The dude killed himself so he could see himself as him, so he could see his father for the first time.
Right.
And I'm like, that already tells you that Anakin was battling the good and the evil side of him.
And Luke said, he's like, I could sense it.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. It's like, if you're pure evil, like Emperor Palpatine, my man would have fought this dude he would have let him stroke him down. He would have fought. These dudes would have fought to the death. But we didn't get that in this movie. And I know Sky's going to text us and he's going to do whatever. And I know other people are going to be like, what are you guys talking about? But you're absolutely right, Nate. When it comes to villains, people are not, they're looking at as the...
He's iconic. The
matter part of the, instead of the actual story and everything.
If we just are breaking this down as this film and not taking into account historical relevance, because if we do that, then everything in all of these Star Wars movies, I would just have to give a 5 to. You know what I mean? So that, I think that's why. But yeah, it's okay. It is. It's our opinion.
The same thing with, like, I mean, perfect example. Same thing with Halloween, right? Yeah. The new ones. Everyone loves Halloween. Everyone loves Michael Myers, right?
He's horrible in that last movie.
Yeah, he was horrible. And the character himself, I would give his ass a 1 because he didn't do much. I mean, he did do kills here and there, but at the end of everything,
he is Michael Myers, so 5.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, in terms of the character, the essence, Vader, he ain't here. That Vader is not here. That Vader was in Empire Strikes Back. Correct. When he didn't know he had a son, now he knows he had kids, his ass ain't going evil. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm like, you know what? He's a 3. You gave him a 4. Okay, action scenes.
Okay, this one actually has a good amount of action scenes. They do a couple of fun... I like the speeders. I think those look cool. I think they're well done, too, even for the time. Like, I think that effect still looks pretty good, you know, considering it's, 41 years old. It still looks pretty good. So I like that scene with the speeders. I don't like all of the scenes on whatever that planet is called. Is it, like, Endor or something? Where the Endor. Ewoks live? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when the freaking... The walkers come out and they smash it with 2 logs. It just blows up. And then another one just trips and falls and explodes. Like, if all you gotta do is knock it down, why don't everybody just take out its legs? It will just blow up. So I don't love everything there, but the fight with Darth Vader and Luke, it's good, but again, I think the one in Empire is better. I think it was better. Now, this one, they were going a little faster. They're starting to speed up a little bit with the, you know, with the movements, which I like. So it was fine. But the speeder stuff is cool. We got some space, you know, we got some space battles, we get some flying, we get sort of remixed version of the first movie where instead of just dropping a bomb in a hole, they fly the whole ships into the Death Star and everything. It's cool. I gave it a 4. I think this is on par with the other movies. I still don't think it's a 5.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold this back. I gave it a 4 for the same reasons you gave it. The only thing I will add in, I think the fight between Luke and Vader was kind of watered down because I have a feeling they did not know how to end this thing. I don't even know how to... I don't think they knew what more they could do with that ending. Yeah. I personally believe that because I think what they should have done was have them fight it out first. Have Emperor Palpatine zap him with the lightning and then do the whole redeeming shit, you know, when he figures out, like, he's calling for him getting zapped, because that's what made him, wait a minute, that's my son dying right here. So I think they should have had a big battle, like a 5-minute scene or whatever, let Emperor Palpatine zap his ass, and then that's when Darth Vader, because the whole thing of him hitting him hard and then cut the arm off and then he realizes they both had the same arm mechanically,
yeah,
to me, I was just like, like, it didn't do nothing for me, just that Luke looked like he was tipping the dark side because he started to get angrier, because that's when he said, oh, we could turn your sister into the dark side. And then he was like, no. And then he was just like, zoom, 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 bang, bang. And then they went all over the place. Yes. Endor. I wasn't too crazy with that whole scene with Endor and the speeder, to me, looked kind of... It looked funny.
It does.
I was just like, it looked great for what it was.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too crazy with it. The fights there wasn't as big and grand. I like the spaceship scenes when they're out of space with the Millennium Falcon. That's my joint. So again, I gave it a 4. Storyline.
This is my least favorite, these trilogy movies. Nothing happened. Nothing barely happens in this movie. As far as story, let's look at it. The first 40 minutes is just them rescuing Han from Jabba the Hutt. Literally, I checked. Well, it's 38 minutes. The first 38 minutes is people constantly coming to Jabba the Hutt's either getting captured or getting rescued. That's all it is. There's no plot there. Like, there's nothing that moves the story other than Han is frozen. We got to get him. In my opinion, that first 38 minutes, it could have been 15 minutes and I would have liked it better. It feels like it's just going on and there's no cutaways, barely, right? Like, they show Vader a little bit, very beginning, and then that's it. you're just there in this dungeon and this cave and then this. And I'm like, okay, it's a set piece. There's some action in it, but there's no story there. The story doesn't start until they leave there. And then Leia and Han, and then they're coming up with the plan, the other Death Star. They got to blow it up. So the plot of the movie doesn't really kick off until like almost 40 minutes in. And then once it does, all you get is Luke pretty much, I mean, he's there with them. But he's pretty much like, I got to fight Vader. Okay, yes, we understand that. And then Han and Leia hanging out with these little teddy bears on trying to shut down the shield. That's literally the whole plot of this movie. Luke's got to fight his dad. They got to shut down the shield so they could blow up the Death Star. You do get some stuff with Vader and Luke, right? And you get Leia finding out that they're brother and sister. But other than that, plot and story, there's nothing else there. There's no big twist. There's no big reveal like how you had an Empire. To me, it's weak. I gave it a 3. I think it's still, like, the characters are still well-written enough, but this is the most boring one to me. I know you said the first one you found kind of boring. To me, this one's always been the most boring one.
All right. I gave this movie a 2.
Whoa.
In terms of storyline.
Wow. Okay.
And this is what? One, it was boring.
Yeah.
This joint was boring. Once they got to Endor with the Ewok, I said, this shit is boring. 2, Yoda and Luke finishing his training. I kind of liked it. And that should have started off the movie. Him going back to whatever, Dagobah or whatever the hell it was called. They should have did it with that way. Anyway, other than that, I felt like the confrontation between Luke and Vader was kind of mad weak. I don't think I don't know if they knew which way they were going to go once he revealed that was his dad. The sister reveal to make it into a big plot. Oh my God, they're brothers and sisters. Okay, great. To me, I was just like, it is what it is in terms of that storyline. But the real reason I gave it a 2, honestly, it is the same shit as Part 4. Let's look honestly. Let's really look at it. We're rebuilding the Death Star bigger, stronger, and they can shoot from it, right? That's the first movie. That's already going, okay, what grand new thing is there? Nothing. How do we take off the defensives? The first movie, Obi-Wan just went boom from the inside, and Luke had the chance to shoot into this little barrel and blew it up. Well, this one they went, ha! We're gonna make a thing in a bottom of a planet. All you have to now go there is blow that up, and it blows off the defenses up there, and no holds barred. Now you have to drive into it and then blow it. So I'm like, this has no imagination at all. Everything seems the same, and this is why I get annoyed, because then when Force Awakens come out, it's the same shit as part Return of the Jedi and A New Hope. I'm like, there is no new storytelling, and I felt like Return of the Jedi, you did get it. Luke finished the storyline. Luke became a Jedi Knight. Leia, you find out she has Jedi powers. Darth Vader dies. He becomes, you know, he goes with the Force. Emperor Palpatine, we don't know what happens to him. But the problem is, it's the same freaking movie as A New Hope. Nothing different. And then you have teddy bears, Ewoks, that has nothing to do. And I think he only did that so he could add new creatures.
Sell toys.
And people, and for toys. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a toy money-making billion-dollar company. I mean, during that time was a billion-dollar franchise. So I don't know what to tell you, but in terms of, I know people are going to be, oh man, you crazy. This shit is a 2.
Even Luke becoming a Jedi, they don't even really explain it. Okay, at the end of Empire, they're standing there on the ship. They've pretty much been jacked up. Han's gone. This movie starts and it just says Luke is, you know, they're going, he went and became a Jedi Knight or whatever. From who? What? He went back to Yoda? But I mean, they don't really explain anything. He just shows back up dressed in black with a green lightsaber, and we just go, yep, that's it, I guess.
And that's the thing, and that's the problem I have with these movies, is the fact that you have to read the novels that are between the films to understand their journey. Because you're right, who gives titles of Jedi Knights? Like, the Jedi is done. Like, who gives it? He didn't go back to Yoda, so how the hell did he know how to put together these the lightsabers? Like, he didn't know how to put together a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Unless you're gonna tell me Obi-Wan tells him through the Force on how does it work. I know he had those books, you know, those damn Jedi books, but still, at the end of everything, there was a lot of plot holes when you start to watch the movies. Like, where the hell did he just become a Jedi Knight? Like, where did that come from? I'm like, who gave him that? I mean, he looks cool. He did look training. He did look older. He looked more seasoned as a Jedi. Yes, I'm okay with it, but there's a lot of stuff, and that's why I gave it a 2. I can't see another story that repeats itself. You made it bigger. The defense is now on the ground, so now you forced everyone down the ground to blow this thing blowing up, and now it's the same thing. You got to fly in to blow it up. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Like, at the end of the day, it was boring. Like, there was nothing new. I was like, ooh, this is cool. So I gave it a 2. You gave it a 3?
A 3.
Give it a 3. Okay, overall, what's your overall?
Yeah, to your point, not only is it very similar, but this doesn't have the advantage of introducing us to these characters. At least in the first movie, you're meeting characters, they're world building. There's no world building in this. It's already established. You go to a new, you know, you go to, pretty much the whole movie takes place freaking a cave, and then a little bit on the ship, and then in the tree houses and in the trees.
Or three locations
and Tatooine, yeah. So it's like, okay, I don't know. I know people who love this movie. Like, it's their favorite one. I have a buddy who this is his absolute favorite one. I think a lot of it, in my opinion, is probably tied to nostalgia. It was the 83, you know, like you said, I think a lot of people saw this one first. I think when you're a kid and you see this one works really well for younger viewers because it has the Ewoks. There's a little, they're kind of goofy. It has a good amount of action. So you'd be like, oh, wow, look, they're flying.
They have the speeders.
Yeah, story-wise, it's the worst. First one, in my opinion, it's boring. The characters are still great. The saving grace for this is the characters are still great. Like, I still like watching Luke. I still like watching Leia. I still like watching Han. But even Han, like, he takes kind of a back seat here. He doesn't really do a lot. Leia looks great when she's the slave Leia. That's iconic. That's the only iconic thing that came out of this movie, was that a cosplay of Leia, pretty much. So I give it a 3 because I don't think it's a terrible film, but it's definitely the weakest of the 3 for me. And I just think it's okay. Like, it's fine. It, like you said, I don't rewatch these that often. But when I do, when I get to this one, I'm always like, and it's the longest too. This one's longer than both of the other two. I feel like they blew their wad with the second movie story-wise. Like, that one is just so good and there's so many twists and the ending is, and they're like, well, now we got to finish this. Let's just have them do a little bit of battles and then Anakin will turn good again. And that's it, you know, so a 3 for me.
All right. I'm giving this movie a 3. I agree with you on everything you said. I will say this one thing and then we'll just go on to total points.
Okay.
One thing that this director did well, and I think in our modern generation of filmmaking they would have exploited the shit out of this, is how he handled Slave Leia in her bikini, whatever you want to call it. She was attractive, she was beautiful in it, and you know what, the cameras was not all up in it at all.
True.
You saw her from a distance, you saw her next to Jabba the Hutt, you saw her from like different angles that didn't even show her ass, it didn't show nothing, it was just from her chest on up. And I was just like, I told my wife, I said, you know, this is different filmmaking to now, because now Slave Leia, they would have had her from every angle. They would have, you would have sold posters of it, you would have sold the t-shirts, you would have sold, I mean, you could name it. And that's the generation we live in now, it's all sexualized or whatever. And I give a lot of credit to that director because he did not overly sexualize that part of the film at all. Like, even when she was in the hut, I forget the barge, when they're like doing whatever, the cameras were not even all up on her.
Focus on her.
No.
Yeah.
And I like that. I was like, you know what? I mean, we all knew when she was standing there, like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But other than that, you didn't get that. And I kind of liked that a lot. Yeah. Less is very more. I like that a lot. One thing I did notice is that she is very short. Very short. Yeah. Very, very short. But look, overall, like I said, I gave it a 3. The music is fantastic in this movie.
Yes.
I will say that Return of Jedi has one of the best sounds. I mean, actually, all the 3 soundtracks across the board, fantastic. I agree with you. It is boring. The ending for me is so lackluster. I don't know. It didn't, I didn't go, wow. I wasn't, I was like, okay, whatever. It ends. Like, I was just like, it is like a normal movie, like a normal book. You read it, you're good. You could put it away. I wasn't too crazy. Like, oh, I want more. Like Empire Strikes Back, I wanted that. I was like, oh man, I want more. I want to see more Han and Chewie together. But he went into carbonite. So I was like, oh man, it's kind of booty. So yeah, I give it a 3. Okay, your total points.
I forgot. This also has that stupid part where they're at the music is playing. It's like, man, that thing is singing. I hate that part. I absolutely hate it. 19 out of 25 is my total. I agree with the critics. I mean, as far as it's good, but it's the weakest for me. 19.
I agree with you. It is the weakest. It is the boring. And then A New Hope will go right behind it. But I gave it a 17 out of a 25. For all the lack stuff, whatever, it's still an enjoyable story to a trilogy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has the third movie, right? Like, if you really think about it, every other sequels out there that has 3 movies, it's kind of rare to do like a phenomenal job. For the third
one to be like the best one.
Yeah, to be the best one. It's kind of rare, but this one was actually pretty decent at that. So, all right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
All right. So, coming up next episode, we are going to be wrapping up Bruce Willis month, our final Bruce Willis movie. This is from 2003. It's a movie called Tears Warriors of the Sun. We'll be covering that. And then guess what? We're on to a new franchise. So the next few franchises I like because they're all three movies. We're just doing a bunch of three movie franchises, roll through some of these bad boys, and we're going to stay in space. But this time, we're leaving the Star Wars and we're getting into the Star Treks. So we're going to be doing the reboot franchise, the J.J. Abrams Star Treks, because that's three, because the other one's like six or eight or something.
I think it was like six or seven.
Six or seven, yeah. We're doing the three, the new ones, the Chris Pine Star Trek reboot. So Star Trek Into Darkness, and Star Trek Beyond. That will be our next franchise coming up.
There you have it, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate and his friends go live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you guys have not checked out our first live stream back together on YouTube, head over to Geeks and Flicks on YouTube. Check out our first show back. We do our top 10 halftime shows and see which ones are our favorite performances and why. And of course, you guys can follow us on our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Check out all the Action Movie Guys podcasts from number one all the way up to 335. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.